This morning we read the passage from Matthew chapter 7. To enter through that narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who go in by it. And he said, for the gate is small, the way is narrow that is hedged, it's restricted. The way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Through the years, whenever I have been in personal Bible studies with people and sometimes talked with people who had never known the Bible much, had never really studied about salvation, we would get to this passage and it would be quite surprising to them. This really is a rather remarkable passage. Within the passage, we have two gates. We have two ways. We have two groups of people. And we have two destinies. But that contrast between many and few is actually quite surprising to many people. Most people think that everyone is going to heaven. There was one fellow who wrote a book a number of years ago, and his daughter was weeping that anybody might be lost. And he told her, he said, well, hell is only as big as an atom. And I thought, Jesus said differently. Jesus said differently. Many people think that they are right with God when they're not. Many are those who go that broad way, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But when you think about this passage, it begins to make you focus. It begins to make you stop and think, which path am I on? And where am I going? Am I going in the path that leads to life? Or am I going in the path that leads to destruction? Now the way to life is entered through a narrow gate. It's not broad, it's narrow. There are things about Jesus and about His ways that are narrow. Someone says, oh, you're narrow-minded. No, I'm Christ-minded. And Christ's way is narrow. There are some things that He does not compromise on. There are some things that are non-negotiable. There are some things that are narrow. And when you begin to think about a passage like this one, you recognize that the way is sometimes hedged. It's sometimes restricted. And there are times whenever to be a Christian has troubles. It's difficult, as was read this morning. And when you think about that, then you think about the choice that you're making. And you see, every person who is in this room is making a choice whether or not you're going to go down the narrow road or whether you'll just drift. A lot of people who make no choices at all just decide to go with the crowd. And the crowd's way is broad. And they wander away from God rather than toward Him. The road that leads away from God and downward is a road to ruin. And yes, it's broad. Yes, it's easy. Anybody can do it. But it is not a helpful road. And it will not make you a better person. And it will not lead you to where you would really like to go. It will lead you to the place that you don't want to go. And so you have to choose. You know, it's always been that way that a choice had to be made. I think of the words of Deuteronomy. Moses was speaking, and it's getting towards the close of that book. Don't ever think of Deuteronomy as just a book of laws. Sometimes people think that. That's what the word Deuteronomy means, a second law. That is a second giving of the law. But actually, the book of Deuteronomy is made up of three sermons. Yes, preaching. Three sermons given by Moses. And in chapter 30 and verse 19, he says to them, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse, and therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live. And really, that's what we're asking you to do today. is to choose life, to choose the way that leads to life, and you will never regret it. Oh, it may not be an easy road. It may not be a simple road. But you will never regret going down it because of the joy and the hope and the promise that lies within it. Oh, everybody may look like they're having a good time going down the other road. It's popular and it's broad. But it doesn't lead where you want to go. So choose life. Choose life. Now, when we think about what direction we're going and what path we choose, there is the idea of entering a gate. If you're going to get on the right road, you've got to enter through the gate. And that gate is narrow. And you have to choose it. You have to decide to enter it. Being a Christian is not something that a person is born into. Being a Christian is something that people choose to do. You chose to worship today. You chose to read your Bible. You chose to pray. You chose to sing. And you choose heaven. Now you have to actually pass through that gate to enter upon the way that leads to eternal life. It's not enough just to listen to preaching about the grace of God if you never enter the gate. It's not enough to hear about the blessings of life if you never enter through the gate. It's not enough to say, well, one day I'm going to enter that gate. You don't know whether you will live till that someday. There are some people who thought about it at one point in their life and never got around to doing it. I sat across the table a few months ago from a lady whose daughter had just died. And the daughter had thought about being baptized at one point and never got around to it. A few years had passed and she died in a car accident. She never entered into the gate. She never entered the gate. Now, the fact that your mama or your daddy may have entered the gate doesn't mean that you entered it. The fact that your brother or your sister entered the gate doesn't mean that you have entered it. The fact that your spouse has entered that gate doesn't mean that you have entered that gate. You see, you have to enter that gate for yourself. You have to decide to be a Christian for your life and for your future and for your destiny. And you have to decide to walk that way and to take up your cross and follow Jesus. If you would be a Christian, that's something that you have to decide. You might hear a lot of sermons on loving God. You might live a long time and hear a lot of things about faith in Christ. You may even hear things that tell you to repent of sin and confess your faith and to be baptized. But unless you act, unless you enter the gate, it won't make any difference how many lessons you've heard. I remember being in Missouri one time, Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And there was a man named Sidney. Sidney was about my age now. He was 70 and I was about 20. And they asked me to go by and talk to Sidney. And I did. Now when Sidney was a boy, he went to church. And he heard all of the sermons, but he never obeyed the gospel. Never was baptized. There he was, 70 years old, and had never obeyed the gospel. As he grew into a manhood, his wife was a faithful member of the church. But Sidney had never obeyed the gospel. And year went by, and year went by, and year went by. And he still just sat and did what he had always done. And I will never forget Dan sitting on the front porch with him. out there in a swing, he on one side and me on the other. And with a bit of a broken heart, I looked at Sydney and I said, Sydney, if you never get around to obeying the gospel and giving your life to the Lord and living for Him, don't you know you're going to be lost? Sydney never said anything at that. That night he was at church with us in the gospel meeting, and when the invitation was offered, he stood there nearly trembling, hanging on to the back of the pew. I never learned whether Sydney obeyed the gospel or not. I hope you're not like Sydney. I hope that you don't live your life saying no to God, saying no to what's right, saying no to what the Lord would have you to do. Entering that narrow gate implies that you've got to do an effort, give some effort toward it, that you've got to say yes and you've got to be willing to do it. And I think of the words of the Lord Jesus who said to the people, to the multitude, He said, if anyone wishes to come after Me, let him deny himself. There are times when you got to say no. You got to say no to you. You may want to do this, but you say, no, My Lord doesn't want Me to do that. That's not the way a Christian is supposed to be. There are some things that I have to decide that I'm going to do. Let me tell you what, when my wife came up and kissed me goodbye yesterday morning as she was going to help with a shower and I was getting ready to get on the plane to come here, it wasn't easy to say goodbye, but you know what? She knew that I needed to do that, and I knew that I needed to do that. And it didn't matter what Philip would rather do and stay home with his wife, Jackie. I wanted to be with you. Why? Because I was willing to deny myself. And there are times when you have to make a simple decision whether or not you're going to deny yourself. Am I going to do that which I know is right or wrong when that time of temptation comes? Am I going to step out in faith and invite somebody to the meeting? Am I going to be the kind of man, the kind of woman that God would have me to be? Let a man deny himself. Have you ever denied yourself anything for the sake of Christ? And let him take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake, he is the one who will save it. And then you remember that the question is asked, for what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? What would you gain if you had the whole world but you lost your soul? Those are the questions that I think that we need to ask. On another occasion in Luke chapter 13, Jesus made the statement, strive. Strive. You know, in the original language, this is the word agonize. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Agonize to do it. You know, sometimes that period of time when a person's trying to make up his mind, her mind, whether or not to be a Christian or not, they go through a lot of nights where they're wondering about it and where they're agonizing about it. Will I lose some of my friends if all of a sudden I become a Christian? Will I be able to hold out? Will I be the kind of person I know that I want to be and need to be? They begin to ask questions about, well, what am I getting myself into? But you know what? Jesus said, you strive, you agonize. Yes, you work through those questions. I've known a lot of people who had to leave a false religion to come to the true religion. We'll talk more about that as days go by. And you know what? They go through a lot of agony trying to work through the Scriptures and decide whether or not they want to do what the Bible says or what they've heard from other people. And sometimes that's not an easy thing. But the Lord Jesus said, strive, agonize to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you began to stand outside and to knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. I would hate to hear that from the Lord, wouldn't you? I don't know you. I don't know where you come from. We don't have a relationship. I want a relationship with the Lord, and the way to do that is to enter through the door and to keep His Word and to love Him with all of our hearts. We need to be people who keep the faith, who walk the path, who are willing to obey from the heart that form of doctrine as we talked about earlier, so that we can be set free from sin and become a servant, a slave of righteousness. That's what I want to be. I want to be a slave of the Lord Jesus. I want to do what He says to do. I want to follow after Him. And I have to enter the gate if I'm going to do that. I've got to make the decision that I'm going to do what is right, even if no one else does what is right. I've got to make the decision that I'm going to walk that path and I'm going to stay on that path, even if nobody else is walking with me. I'm going to go and I'm going to go all the way to the end. It's not the person who starts out that is saved. You got to start out, yes. It's the person who finishes and stays with it. The one who goes all the way to the end. Now, there is a path. There is a way that is right, and we need to walk it. Proverbs 4, verses 26 and 7, it says, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from all evil. There is a way to walk. There is a way to go, and we have to think about what we're doing. When we travel that path, the path that is narrow, yes, we don't turn to the right. We stay on the path. We don't turn to the left. We stay on the path. We don't see evil and then run to it. We stay on the path. Why? Because that path is taking us to the place where we want to go. There are a lot of people that get deceived. They see some sign that they think is attractive to them and they follow after it. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There are a lot of people who have been fooled by this or by that. You know, one of the great decisions you have to make is whether Jesus is Lord or you're going to run your own life. Whether what Jesus teaches is true or whether you're going to follow your passions. Those are things that really make a difference. So it's not only entering through the gate, it's going down the road. Because you can go down the road and you can see a sign or this or that and you're going to get off on the side and you may go somewhere where you really didn't want to go and do something you really didn't want to do. Where are you going with your life? And are you following that path? Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, he said, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. You may think, oh, I have these experiences. I know about this, I know about that, and so I'm going to make this choice, I'm going to make that choice, and never consider what God has said about those matters. God wants me to be happy. Have you ever heard anybody say that? God wants me to be happy. And you know, when I hear someone sometimes say that, they're thinking about some sin they want to participate in that they think will make them happy. God wants you to be happy, yes, but He wants you to be happy in righteousness, not in following the ways of the world. The world will promise you everything. but it will deliver to you nothing but the challenges and the problems that you may face. That's why we have to be careful how we live. If we want to know the path, then we've got to look into the Scriptures. This is the map of life. This is the handbook of life. This is the way of life. And this is where you find how God wants you to be and how God wants you to do. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, an old passage that our fathers used to preach a lot. I don't hear it much these days. Maybe you do here. I expect you do. But Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, there it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls." And then the latter part of that passage says, "But they said, we will not walk in it." Jeremiah was living at a time in which so many people were looking at the nations around them and following after the idols and following in false worship with the things that were all around them. And they had been deceived because that was the popular way. That was a thing that everybody was doing, and so we want to be like everyone else. And when he said, look, don't think about that. You take time, you look around, and you find where the good way is, and you walk in it. But they said, no, we're not going to. They would have known where the good way was if they had followed the law of God. But they were listening to false prophets, and they were listening to idolatry, and they were listening to the wrong voices. And if you listen to the wrong voices, they will lead you to the wrong way. If you listen to the Lord, it will lead you in the right way. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize?" And then he said, "So run. So run in such a way that you would be the one to obtain it." In other words, you don't just try a little bit, you strive. You work at it. You make sure from the Word of God that the direction you're going is the right way. So run that you may obtain it. He says, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, one that would be put on their head, a garland on their head, and everybody would see it and they'd think, oh, what a wonderful thing. But I tell you what you're running for is not a perishable wreath, but an imperishable one, much more important." And so he says, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one who is beating the air." He says, "But I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." There are times that I say no to what I want. There are times that I say no to whatever passions that come about. That's what Paul is saying. I say no. And there are times when we all have to say no. That all of us look at our lives and we say, look, this is not the thing that's going to help me get to heaven. Young people, when you marry somebody that'll help you get to heaven. Be with those who will help you get to heaven. And you know what? That's why we have a church. That's why we have an assembly once a week. Why we look each other in the eye. Why we give each other a hug. Why we pray for each other. Why we think about each other. Why? Because we want to help each other get to heaven. I don't know about you, but I need other people to help me. And I suspect you do as well. And that's why the Lord gathers His family together so that each man can sharpen the other man, keep their mind strong, and keep their focus directed. That's why we meet. and why we're together. I think of Psalm 1. And there are two different ways in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is really the beginning of the whole book of Psalms, and the beginning of everything that is there. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God, the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates both day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff which the wind drives away. And therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Pretty straightforward. Two ways, two destinies. Let me emphasize this with regard to the Word of God. When you really study the Word of God, and when you have understanding of what the Word teaches, you will not have misunderstanding. And when people present misunderstanding to you, because you have the understanding, you'll know it. You'll know that's misunderstanding. That's the difference. Jesus could say, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." There is a difference between the way that is built on the rock and the way that is built on sand. You know, if you look at the two houses, they may look very much alike. The house built on the sand may even be prettier than the house built on the rock. It may have all of the latest and the nicest things, but you see, that house that's built on the sand won't stand when the rain and the floods come. Only the house on the rock will. There's a difference. Now, it's not that one listens and the other doesn't listen. It's that one listens and does what he's been told. The other listens, but he doesn't do what he's been told. That's the difference. That's the difference. There are two groups, two gates, two ways, two groups. Many will choose the broad way to destruction, while few choose the narrow way to life. And of course, that fact shocks people. People think faith alone is good enough to save. But the Bible doesn't teach that. There are people who think that if you're generally good, that you can find a way to heaven just by being good. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does teach in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. That's still true, and it hasn't changed in all these years. In 1 John 5 and verse 19, John writes, "We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." Have you ever thought about that? The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Next time you think about a war, it lies in the power of the evil one, not in the power of God. God doesn't teach people to have war. The devil does. When you begin to think about so many things in life, you'd have to understand that it's the devil who's behind so much of it. So much of the evil, so much of the hurt. Now, the narrow way and the broad way differs by the way people think and the way they act. Romans 8 and verse 5, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, But those who are according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. What do you think about? What do you think about? Again, Romans 8, verse 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh. He says to live according to the flesh, to live after it. For if you are living according or after the flesh, then you must die. But if you through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. And that's an important thing about how we live and what we do. I think about the broad way, and the broad way is for people who never consider the ways of God seriously. They either think about God's teaching and His morals and they go another direction. I think of the deceived who think everyone is okay and nobody will be lost. That's not the way of God. I think about the deceived who think it's not necessary to follow God's commandments. I think of the deceived who do their own thing and expect God to accept them anyway. I think of the rebellious person who doesn't care what God says. I think of the deceived person who listens to human traditions and they dismiss what God thinks and what He says. I think of the ungodly or the profane person who never gives God a second thought. I think of the deceived person who's caught up in false religion or maybe even a false Christianity and doesn't know it. I think of the person who never believes or obeys the Lord. And I think of the person who never understood the truth of the gospel, but goes in a way that is away from God and away from what is life, what is right. Someone says, "Oh, Phil, you're being judgmental." No, I'm not. I'm trying to be honest. I'm trying to be open. I'm trying to help people to see the difference between the right way and the wrong way. Why? Because if there are two gates and two ways and two groups of people, there are also two destinies. And the destinies matter. The destinies matter. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad." I think of Romans 2 in verse 6 to 11 and how that God will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, He'll give them eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious, to those who do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, to them He gives wrath and indignation. And then He says, "There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God." Jesus made the statement in Matthew 25 and 46 when He talked about the sheep and the goats, and He said of the goats that these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. There are two destinies, and only two destinies. And we are all choosing which of those that we want to be a part of. I think about Revelation 22 and verse 14. "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." It's only when we enter into the narrow gate and walk the narrow way in this life that we get to enter into the gate to the city that has the tree of life. Revelation 14 and verse 13, it says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." That's the promise that we have. And it is a great and wonderful promise. Now, you are choosing in this life what you believe and what kind of person you are. You are choosing which gate you will enter. You are choosing which way you will walk. You are choosing what kind of person you will be. And you are choosing what your destiny will be. Now, God the Father wants you to be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you might be saved. The Holy Spirit gave us this word so that we might know truth from error and be saved. The brethren who are here, who are members of this church, love you and want you to be saved. They care about your soul and they care about your destiny. Let me ask you, do you want to be saved? Enter the narrow gate, walk the narrow way, go to life. Go to life. And you do that and you start on that gate by believing with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You put your trust in Jesus and what He taught. And with that faith, you say, you know, I can't keep on going the direction I'm going. I've learned to love the Lord because He died for me. And so I'm going to give up that old way of life and I'm going to turn to the Lord and walk a new and better way of life. I'm going to confess and tell everybody Jesus is my Lord, that He is the Christ, the Son of God. That I belong to Him now and not to myself. That I'm going to walk with Him and I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow Him. And then with that faith that repents and confesses Him before men, before others, I'm going to be baptized. When I'm baptized, I'm united with Christ. I die with Him. I'm buried with Him. I'm raised with Him. When I'm baptized into His death, His blood washes away my sins and causes me to be born again to newness of life, free from sin, a child of God, added to His kingdom. That's how you enter the gate. And until you enter the gate, you're still outside. Won't you come in? Won't you walk with this good church to the way of life? If you're not a Christian, I beg you to become one today. If you're not a Christian, today is the best day you'll ever have to become a child of God. If you're a brother or sister and you've been following the wrong path, it's time to turn. Get away from the left and get away from the right and watch your path and do what is right. This is a good day to get your life right with the Lord. If you've wandered away, come back home and do it this morning while we stand and sing.